It is Friday, so aside from the weekend coming up, which means some good golfing and hopefully some good weather here in the Peace Country, but that remains to be seen. We check in with Justice Minister and Solicitor General Doug Schweitzer on politics, baseball, and everything in between. Minister, as always, great to have you on.
Oh, appreciate it. Thanks for having me on today.
Always like to chat baseball a little bit, and one of the things we're going to mention about baseball is that 60-game season. How much harder is it to pick a winner in this one? Because, I mean, you know, usually some teams get off to hot starts that usually wouldn't be around come September. Is this a good opportunity for a lot of out peripheral contenders to say to maybe make a name for themselves and really come out and show who they are?
Well, you know what? A hot start is going to be so key to this whole 60-game season. Yeah, I mean, how many teams have we seen that, you know, they look good in April and May and then they're below 500 come September? So, I mean, yeah, the hot start's going to be key. I mean, the one thing that's going to be interesting is whether or not the Blue Jays are really, really bad or whether or not they're going to be a playoff team, because they could be one or the other right now. So there's so many teams going to fall into that category.
No doubt about that. So we'll get back to it in a moment here, but first thing off, let's get your predictions first for the American League. Who do you think's winning each division?
Well, you know what? I mean, I got to go with the A's. You can't bet against the A's out west. Like, they're just, you know, they are who they are. You know, I like Cleveland and Central, and then, I mean, the Yankees. I mean, how do you bet against the Yankees? They went and picked up Garrett Cole. I mean, I just can't see how you bet against the Yankees.
That is true, and on top of that, too, they definitely have a dangerous lineup, a filthy lineup, as we like to say, and should be definitely interesting to watch, as you were mentioning, teams that get off the hot starts. That may be enough this time, but we'll come back to the NL in a moment here, but first, I guess, on to some of the issues here, and I was having a chance to chat with our MLA, one of our MLAs, Todd Lowe in Central Peace Notley, and we know in the legislature that he put forward Motion 505, which asks your ministry to take a look at the possibility of establishing a volunteer civilian corps to assist police officers with non-criminal matters, thus freeing up more police resources so they could do more, handle more serious cases. What are your thoughts on that motion, and is this something that the ministry is looking to explore?
Well, we are taking a look at it. I mean, we have so many amazing volunteer organizations, crime watches, things like that. So it would make sense for us to figure out how do you take all this, you know, volunteer, you know, activity and maybe formalize it a little bit more with our police services. So, yeah, we're taking a good hard look at it. And, you know, the auxiliary force, there's lots of different people coming up with suggested names for what the auxiliaries could be called. So, yeah, we're taking a look at it right now and to see if it's viable.
Okay, that should be very interesting. And also as well, we know that there was a situation involving where MLA Shannon Phillips of Lethbridge West was under surveillance inappropriately, and safe to say that I think that there was something revealed about that at 6 o'clock on a Monday, and within 2 hours, your ministry had responded. And I know in question period you had mentioned that this is completely unacceptable in terms of surveilling, let alone an elected member, but any Albertan for that matter. Could you kind of reiterate that and explain a little bit about the investigation that's underway now?
Yes, what happened here? I mean, completely unacceptable situation. We had a couple of Lethbridge police officers illegally survey, Shannon Phillips, who's an MLA in Lethbridge, when she was a cabinet minister. They didn't like some of the decisions that she was making at the time, and they went and took this step where they, you know, did some surveillance on her. It went through an internal, kind of professional standards review, and they were demoted as police officers. But, you know, this information just came to light this week with a lot of the details. So I've asked the Alberta Serious Incident Response Team, which handles reviews of police misconduct, to see if anything further needs to be done, whether a criminal investigation is required or not, because this simply cannot be tolerated. It's bad enough, you know, when you see police misconduct, but this is egregious. So we really cannot have this. We can't have intimidation of elected officials in particular. That's just completely uncalled for. So this isn't a partisan issue. This is just simply the wrong thing that was done here, and we have to make sure that that people are held accountable for what they do.
And on top of that, too, I think that there were some calls for, at least for this one, out-of-province prosecutors. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so what we did there, just to make sure that, you know, because this involves, you know, political, you know, participants, we wanted to make sure that no one had any sense that there would be any politics in this. So if ACERT, the Alberta Serious Incident Response Team, needs legal advice through this, or if they deem that charges are required, they have to get pre-charge approval from a prosecutor, we would have that legal advice coming from outside of Alberta.
All right. And also as well, we know that there may have been some stories circulating about when the ministry was actually informed about this, but and some information that soon was later on taken down had said that this had actually happened when MLA Ganley was held that portfolio at the time, I understand.
Yeah, so there, an initial report came in 2018 that went into the department. We don't know how much information she had or didn't have. But again, you know, the minute we found out about what was going on here, within hours, we took steps to make sure that the right process was done in this matter. So that's what we're doing here. Sometimes too in politics, you know, you get certain folks in the media, they jump on a story real quick with half information, then they have to retract it. That happened in this situation here as well. So you know what, it is what it is, but you know, we did the right thing on this one.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting to see what the findings of that investigation are. And other investigations I know that were going on, we know that the premier very quickly had announced, at least early on in the pandemic, when there was some hoarding taking place and people unnecessarily hoarding supplies, and he had spoke out quite a bit against that, and also had announced, I think later on down the road, that various businesses were being investigated that may have been complicit in these types of hoarding tactics. I guess my question is that obviously you can't comment on any ongoing investigations, but are there still investigations ongoing, or is this something that's more or less wrapped up now?
Well, I mean, we haven't heard of as many instances in the last little while. Cause, I mean, we all remember the stories of people, you know, with toilet paper, hand sanitizer, trying to gouge and other things on, you know, various ways of selling those products. So we haven't seen as much of that recently happening in the province. But the one thing I'll just remind people with COVID and what's going on, I mean, we are seeing an increase in cases a little bit here over the last few weeks in Alberta. And that's because people are getting out and about and they want to get back to their day-to-day lives. And I fully appreciate that, but we want to remind people to make sure you're diligent, you know, keep your distance from people. Even in our rural communities, we're starting to see a little bit of an increase in cases in our rural communities. So we need to make sure people are just diligent in their day-to-day lives. Keep that 2 meters apart, be responsible, you know, get out and enjoy the outdoors, but be responsible in how you do it.
Fair enough. And this is the third week in a row. I didn't think we'd be bringing up his name this week, but somehow the Alberta Federation Labour of President, Gil McGowan, once again makes his way into provincial headlines, and this time for the wrong reasons, and this time comparing the UCP government to, I don't even want it, Nazis. And again, just when you don't think that anything could be said like to that level, obviously line was crossed here, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and it's just completely unacceptable for, you know, a union leader to compare elected officials in Canada to Nazis. I mean, it's just completely unacceptable. He was called out on this, too, by many leaders of the Jewish community in particular who felt this is anti-Semitic commentary. And you know what? It's just, this is just the tone of politics today, and it's just shameful. It has no place in politics. And I think as well, I mean, I think maybe he feels like his position is being threatened because we're getting – you know, we're holding him accountable where his members get to opt in or out as to how he spends his money. Because for too long, he's been able to spend millions of dollars with no accountability to his membership as to how that money is spent. And now he's actually going to be held accountable with legislation we're bringing in Alberta, which the union members get to decide whether or not they believe in the advocacy work that he's doing. Because so many times in Alberta, you've got somebody that comes here from Venezuela, they come here from another country, and these union member bosses are like spending that money on campaigns that help people in Venezuela. They're advocating for Venezuelan oil, not Alberta oil. And they're working in the oil and gas industry here in Alberta. So there's a complete disconnect. And I think you know, these union bosses realize that they're in trouble. And it's just one of those things that they're lashing out.
Now, one question that did come in, and this is about Bill 1, the Critical Infrastructure Defense Act, and we know at that point, too, that at least a few weeks ago, a constitutional challenge was launched by the Alberta Union of Public Employees, and what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that this would survive a constitutional challenge if it did come to that?
Yeah, I mean, Bill 1, it does not impact anyone's right to protest. That is so crystal clear. What you have here is people are just, again, trying to play politics. What it prohibits is blockade. It prohibits people from blocking critical infrastructure that we need as a society. We saw earlier this year when our rail lines are being blockaded, how that impacted our critical supply chains. Could you imagine during the pandemic if we couldn't get trucks in with food to different communities? Like, it's just, you know, for people to say that this is what it isn't, is just I have nothing to really say about that other than these union bosses are out of touch with reality.
Fair enough. And I guess going back to baseball here, that's always the fun one. We said we'd get back to the National League here. And who do you see coming out on that? Because you know what? A lot of people say Washington in the NL East, but I'm thinking that, you know what? If the bats get quicker, well, a little more faster than pitchers do, which sometimes tends to happen, may not work for them. What do you think for the NL?
You know, I think you got Atlanta. I think Atlanta's looking pretty good. The Dodgers, I mean, I don't know how anybody gets through the Dodgers right now. They look really, really sharp. The Central, I mean, I don't know really who to pick in the Central, but I go with Atlanta and the Dodgers. And I think we're probably looking at a Dodgers-Yankees World Series.
Oh, nice. That's a big prediction. I do like that one. And here's one, too. And this question could get you in a little bit of trouble, but in terms of baseball, but it's always a little fun to have that. So as we know that because of his appearances in the World Series, manager Dave Roberts and World Series, one of the World or the ALCS hero of 2004 with that big stolen base. Let's say he is dismissed, and out of the blue, you get a call from the Dodgers, and they say, "Doug, we want you to manage our team. What's it going to take?" And let's say, are you at that point, if that happened, say, next week, would you actually go to the premier and say, "I got to live this dream," or would you be telling the Dodgers, "Sorry, I got a lot of work to do in Alberta"? What are you doing?
You know what? It'd be hard to turn down a manager job with the Dodgers. I mean, I'm sorry to say, there'll be another justice minister, but will it be another manager of the Dodgers? I don't know. But no, I'm happy doing what I'm doing, but that would be a pretty cool opportunity for whoever gets it.
Fair enough. Well, and that thing too, Dave Roberts, I should reiterate, is not in trouble, at least now. But if he makes it the World Series again, he may not. And another one too, because I remember you said you were a college pitcher as well. Did you ever intentionally throw at anybody, or at least try to brush them off the mound?
I hit way too many people in my day. I was a little bit wild. I could strike a guy out, hit a guy, strike a guy out, walk a guy. So I had a little bit of a, control issue at, you couldn't tell if I was hitting somebody on purpose or not.
Okay, that's, well, at least that's a good thing, too. At least it would avoid that situation between Roger Clemens and Manny Ramirez, where Roger, I remember, had thrown at Manny, was already getting a tense, and Manny started walking towards the mound saying, "You threw at my head," and obviously, for certain reasons, I can't say Roger's response, but that's eventually what got Manny to charge. But still, it's always fun. I know we're all looking forward to baseball coming back. As always, Minister, appreciate you for taking the time to join us.
No, appreciate it. Thanks so much.